There it is. Oh, jeez.
How are you?
Kickback. Oh, my gosh. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm driving in my car, so where you're talking through the microphone on the car here.
You have a microphone in your car?
No, the dash thingy.
Oh, nice. So it's like, yeah, dude, like it's like our radio lab.
Right.
I think we're always talking in the car, though. That's kind of normal.
Yeah, that's pretty normal. We've talked a couple times, like at my house at night, but yeah, car driving is the best for me.
Yeah, that's when you're just not thinking, even though you should be thinking and focusing on the road, but you're just zoned out.
Yeah.
What'd you do this weekend?
Worked and contemplated life, I suppose.
So same thing as last weekend.
Yeah, basically that's my life. Work and then contemplate existence, my existence, everyone's existence, pretty much.
Where does it end?
It does not.
Dude, I'm in Encinitas. I'm in San Diego. I came down here and hung out at the beach and stuff. And on the way down here, I saw a billboard and it said, "If you die tonight, heaven or hell?" ? And then it said, "Call this line for Christian or gospel something," you know. So I called it and talked to this dude for like freaking 2 hours on the way down here yesterday. And
wow.
Like, I wasn't calling to debate, but I was just calling to like understand like why that type of message is like an okay thing, you know, like
right. What
that's doing for anybody, and then also the Christian, to like, you know, attract people to Christianity. Like, it's kind of a little bizarre to me, but he was a freaking cool dude, and he was able to just rattle off and be like, "Oh yes, in Matthew 2, you know, page 12, line 6, this says that," and it's like, he was giving it a lot of good information, but we kind of went back and forth about the whole existence, and like, he's like promoting this, conversation to have, and so we went back and forth, you know, and he's like, you know, hey, people have to give their life to Jesus, and like, in order to make it to heaven,
right,
have this eternal love from their God, you know. And I was just like, I was like, I firmly respect like their perspective and
their position
to be able to believe that, you know, for sure.
And where they are now at this point in their evolution to need to believe that, or need to like, you know, put something in a box and believe in that. Inside the box, there's inside the box, and then there's out of the box, and only inside the box is okay. So,
Yeah, no, totally. And he was like talking about how he doesn't know how to reach the younger generation, and he really hopes God can break through and reach the younger generation. I said, the way I see it is God is speaking through the younger generation, and it's just like, it's in a manner that says something's wrong here. Like, you know, we're not, it's uncomfortable, and this, you know, this reality, the society, like, how we're kind of driven and just, like, you know, just kind of pushed on through and, you know, figure out, you know, your career path and do this, that, and the other, and just kind of, you know, just not real personal, not real, like, what's your dream? What do you want to do with your days, you know? And I don't think it's meant for the human spirit to.
No, not it's not. You know, I have some.
To just be like a cookie cutter.
I have some friends on Facebook, and there's a lot of like very religious oriented quote, you know, posts, and it's coming from a good place of, you know, love and salvation and understanding and all of this, but it's, you know, it's saying surrender to something else and give yourself away to something else, or that God is a separate entity from ourselves, and that's where it gets, and we should fear God, and that's where it gets a little, you know, like a little dicey for people, and can definitely turn people off. But from my experience, I mean, I am, God is within me. I am part of the universe and God, so we are it. And you know, with that, I mean, you gain love and confidence and security within yourself, and not pushing fear and separation onto generations of people.
Yeah, which I believe the consciousness has to learn everything. So that was all like important, you know, like the the Son of God, and like that bridge, and then understanding like what it's like to have a one person be close to God on this earth, or that idea, and then we're just kind of trying to catch up, and then, you know, now we're equal, we're like evening out and being like, okay, you know, like science can't prove that these stories, that what Jesus did or any of these people from the past ancient belief systems have done, but it's like you can't prove it with science, but it's like the technology of spirituality and like just faith and like where we come from, what we are, and what like is the inner workings of our consciousness and our point of being is like something that we
someone said to me when I first had an awakening. I mean, it was so blasting out of control and there was so much information coming through that, you know, someone very intelligent young man said to me, God, how was it put? It was basically, you know, spirituality and science are not two separate things. They are two parts of one whole. And, you know, and well, that's what quantum physics is about, correct? Is that they're not able to prove stuff with science, but they know it exists. And, you know, based on, you know, one dot and the other dot, they know that there's a line between the dots, but they just can't prove it. So that's what we're dealing with. And, you know, and that's what a lot of people are like, no, I have faith and I don't need to see the line. I know it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the most important. If you have that piece, you know, it doesn't really matter. But I think it's important now for like the collective conscious to have science.
Yes.
So that they can be like, okay, there's the evidence. I see that. I can understand and reason with that. And then maybe I don't need to explain this other factor and just say, yeah, that's crazy.
No,
You ever read Greg Braden, his books? He's got this book called The Divine Matrix, which is like one of my favorite books that really opened my like awareness and consciousness up to us being connected, you know, no matter the distance we think we have between us, you know. And so he talks about this experiment that the U.S. Army did on DNA. So they took a sample from DNA from a volunteer and put the volunteer in a room, put the sample of their DNA in a petri dish under a microscope in the other room, and then showed the volunteer images of like things that would invoke emotion, like funny things that would
activate
things, or like war images that would make them sad.
So
the DNA in the body would
respond
just as the DNA in the petri dish in the other room. And they did that, and they're like, wow, it's to the atomic second. Like, as soon as that person starts feeling those emotions, it's connected. And so they took it 600 miles away and did the experiment again. And to the second, it's like there's no distance. And so, like, what that tells me is emotion is a emotion is something that, you know, transcends
environmental
all time, all
influence. You know, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, you know. Which I had no idea, you know, like being oblivious to like the healer world, but they all just tune into the love frequency. They just think and open up and just feel love, you know, and like what a valuable asset to have to just be able to do that in your day. To just be like,
to tune into the healing frequency, which, you know, which is what we're made to do. I was actually just thinking about this morning. You know, I think that as humans evolve, right now we're coming on to this golden age or whatever, but as we evolve, we are literally going to be able to tune in to proper frequencies to heal ourselves and heal each other. You know how I saw a post about, it was about two sunflowers, how they face each other and share energy when it's cloudy. Now, I looked that up and I couldn't find any scientific evidence to prove that. But then I was thinking about it, you know, how you can, there's a commercial where you can share your phone's energy. And I'm like, we are absolutely going to start evolving to where we can just turn to each other and like heal each other with, you know, the proper frequency. There's no way that this is not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's funny you say that because I just, so last night I,
I do know what it is. Yes.
Okay, yeah, because I just, I had a session with a practitioner last night for the first time ever, and it's been in my mind for, like, probably months now, because, like, you know, the whole, this whole like spiritual experience of what I've been through, like uh-huh. really took my sex drive away and any desire to really date or sleep around or like do anything that used to excite me. And, but at the same time, like now the sex drive's back, like the hormones are back. And I'm like trying to be balanced and healthy. So I don't want to just hook up with people. I don't want to like, you know, hook up with friends really. I just don't, there's no one in front of me that I really, you know, want to, or think it's even an option. And, so that became an option, you know, like I understood like that was something for balancing. I need balance because I've never been healthy. We have a very unhealthy
So the social programming is just making us thick. I mean, you know, it's really turning us into, you know, away and towards, bringing ourselves down, lowering our vibration. It really, really is.
Yeah. And it's all, I mean, it's all stemming from the search for love, you know, everyone's just like, I want
someone said to me, you and I have spoken about this person, but someone said to me, all humans want to be understood and, you know, in whatever their reality is, they want to connect. And so, and you know, I mean, I myself, since my awakening, haven't had like a really, I haven't had much of a sex life. But it is because I need someone to exactly stand in front of me and our frequencies need to match. And I don't even have, you know, once that occurs, all the other silly social worries, social programming about sexuality, those kind of fall away. Cause once that frequency is dialed in, we're good to go. So.
Yeah. And it's freedom for it is. It's our soul too.
Totally total liberation. Absolutely. You know? Because you're not looking at the girl being like, oh man, you know, her boobs aren't big enough or her, you know, I don't like her blonde hair or I love her blonde hair. All this like weird judgment stuff is like gone. And you're just basically everyone's, what's that? Oh, basically you're like, you know, people are talking about vibes. Everyone's talking about vibes these days. Yeah, this is it. These are the real vibes, you know? So.
Yeah, no, it's funny. And it's like, because you have to be like completely level, whether you're male or female, to like really fully like accept love and give love to another person, you know, without motive.
I call it recycling, like that little triangle recycle sign. Basically, you know, it's us, one person, a second person, and then, you know, creator, the divine, the source or whatever. And if you can get that little triangle of recycling, you are literally like taking the information from source, filtering it through yourself to another human. They filter it out right back up and it just goes right like that little triangle.
Yeah. And it feels amazing when you hit that. I think it takes a lot of time. I was gifted with like the twin flame experience with that girl, who's like, I fully accept now that like everything I saw in her that scared me was a reflection of myself, but just seeing it in a feminine form, you know, and, you know, not just insecurities or like love life, but like real fear, dark
shadow,
devil, like your shadow my concept of my soul being able to be stolen. Like I had to deal with all that through her, you know. To me, she was trying to take that from me. And every time it would be something new, some sort of new paradigm that I'd be like, oh, fuck, like now I'm not.
And wait, how long this, you, know? You briefly touched on her, but you and I were just getting to know each other. So you touched on it and we bounced off a little bit. So how long were you experiencing this person? I forget.
So I met her like the first month after like my awakening. And she was like, she came at a time where we met on Tinder, which is like, I swear, like the people I've met and have come close to my life have come through like social media or dating apps. And it's like, I'm not even trying to date. I don't know what I'm doing on there.
Same.
And I'll just meet somebody and it's same. Like, oh, like
same. Exactly the same.
Yeah. That.
And he asked me, he says, why are you on here? And I was like, I don't know, because I'm not meeting anybody. I mean, people were trying to talk to me, but I was not going out on dates. And even if I would speak to somebody, it was very short intentionally. Like I was like, nope, you're not it. You're not it. And then if someone would ask me out, have a couple drinks, I'd be like, no, thanks. You know? And then as soon as I saw him, it was like, you know, I mean, it was like every single green light on the planet turned on, you know? So, it was through a dating app. And that's how I met you, and you and I definitely don't talk about dating.
Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah,
okay,
I can hear
so
you.
I totally lost you. You that guy asked you why you were on there, and the guy being the one who activated your awakening. Yeah.
Yes. Yep, and asked me if I knew why we were talking, and I said no, and he said, you will. You'll know soon. And then I had a completely full-blown spiritual awakening. Like, I lit on fire, and the whole world lit on fire around me.
That's crazy. It's almost like a power trip to think about somebody doing that. Like, why would... Like, what... I mean, it was meant to be, obviously.
Well, it was meant to be. The way it scared the shit out of me at first. I mean... But, the first question I asked him, well, the first thing I said to him, I said, what the hell is going on? And he said, are you okay? And, I said, yeah, I mean, I felt like extremely euphoric, but then like crazily frightened all at once. I said, am I going to be like dependent on you now? And he's like, oh no, you need to completely depend on yourself. And I am just your friend. And it took a lot of time to come to grips and not be afraid of a person that came into your life knowing you were going to have a spiritual awakening in a short period of time and just kind of hang out, chatting with you, not flirting or really anything like that, but just having a conversation and know you were about to have a full-blown spiritual awakening and they were going to be in your life for maybe the rest of your life. Maybe that was it. Maybe you just... have that encounter and, you know, you guys separate. But
he has been in my life for a year and a half now, actually. I've gotten kind of mad at him and told him I don't want to talk to him anymore, but what an experience. And that's how you and I met as well.
Yeah, and talking about acting.
Not trying to date, but trying to be like, what is going on?
Help, somebody relate to me, somebody understand me, you know? Like, it's fucking so important because it's... Oh, sorry, I'm cursing.
Yeah.
My friend, the one person who said to stop swearing, and I need to watch it, you know. But I'm just getting it all out.
Keep going. You're not swearing, like, constantly, so it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I know it hurts your ears.
No, so
he, like, activated you consciously. Like, I mean, the teachers come in forms of making us uncomfortable and making us scared and making us feel what we think is pain or loss, you know? Those are our teachers, you know? So the people we really...
Well, we have to... It's like we have to face... What it is, it's making us face things that we are unable to face in the lower vibrational state. So, when I first met you, the very first thing you said to me... Well, I knew you had an awakening immediately... And then you said to me, you said, how did you get, how were you not afraid of the paranormal stuff? And you were experiencing the way you were. And I had experienced this person, this being, this human being. And he scared me specifically, like him, like he has a name and everything. And he scared me. And then you were experiencing it from a different way. And I remember telling you, we chatted, and I said, you are looking through a new set of eyes now. So you need to see these paranormal, things, perspective that you're seeing. You need to see them through your new eyes, not your old eyes.
Yeah.
And I also had to do that with my person.
Yeah, no, totally. And, I think the fear of another human is the biggest one I have, you know, had even. And it's just like, you know, because honestly, that's the only real fear. That's the only real thing that you're going to encounter in this life that can take anything from you. And I don't know what kind of part we play in that consciously, but it's like that the only harm that can come to me is of the physical human nature now. And I kind of realize that. And I also know that nobody can take from me what I am, you know, nobody can take what I need to be and to, like, just, you know, yeah. And, like, I was like talking to my friend who just went through a breakup and got cheated on, I guess. And, you know, and it was like, it's like this, I was like thinking about it. I was like, dude, like, I don't think I would ever, if that happened to me, cause that used to be my biggest fear, you know, like, and I have been cheated on and it's painful. Yeah. And it's like, so then that just snowballs into every damn relationship you have. And you just, that's in the back of your head. Like, okay, yeah. Well, this could happen, you know, and thus bringing it forth.
It's a pattern. It's the pattern, the human pattern.
I think it's ultimately just to teach us that nothing can be taken from us. We're always going to be okay. We're always going to be left. If that person leaves our life, we're still going to be standing there just as we came in before we knew them, before we were attached to them. And it's an important process to, you know, gain somebody and then lose somebody and understand that you're going to be okay. You know, that you're whole regardless. And, but.
Well, it's about your, it's also about not only giving away power, but it's about your perception. If, you know, I mean, it's all about your reality. If you believe something is true, then in your reality, it is true. It can be the biggest farce in the whole world, but if you believe it, then in your reality, that is the truth. So if you do not believe that someone's going to take from you, if you do not believe it, like they can't, it's not possible, then that is your reality. I mean, and then it's in your reality, whether every single other person in the world believes otherwise, your reality is what matters, because that becomes your truth.
Hell yeah. And I was talking to homeless people last night. I ended up spending out by the beach talking to this homeless guy, one specifically who really was cool. But I'm just like, you know, I think it's one of the problems with like the mental health and the approach we have to these people who are exhibiting different, you know, personality traits that we don't understand, and like, you know, multiple personalities,
yes,
or seeing things that we don't see.
Yes.
And then to tell them that's not real. That's not real. No, this is real because the consensus sees this. I think that's the biggest detriment to getting through that process, because they're all just stuck in the middle of what I just went through. And it's like fucking. And you know, like, I don't need to make anybody see what I see or feel what I feel or understand what I, you know, went through or believe, because the people who do and are meant to are coming, and they continue to come.
Right. I came across, I believe it was an old Native American saying earlier on in my awakening, and basically, take what's meant for you and leave the rest. And again, it's, you know, with your reality, if it's meant for you, take that, let that be your truth, and whatever isn't meant for you, leave that.
Yeah, totally. And,
I mean, it really helps you find inner peace, because it's, you know, it's real basic. Without judgment, this is meant for me and this is not. Let it go.
Yeah, totally. Hold on one.
I'm having issues hearing you a little bit. Can you hear me? I know it's my phone. Being this silly car. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. I can hear little weird noises. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Jeez, sorry. I just sent you like 18 links. Jeez, sorry about that.
I know, I tried every one.
I know, you kept kicking me off. But I'm in the woods now, so walking and talking, we're good.
Okay. Yeah. You're in the zone.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to park because I don't even know where I am. I'm in San Diego and I was just trying to drive home, but I can't get my GPS open with this. So it seemed like a good time to pull over.
So, God, where were we at? I forgot.
reality, taking on others' realities.
Yeah, basically. I mean, that's what made like my awakening so hard, difficult, and yours as well. I think, you know, what we've discussed is it was like, you know, the old programming and ego and everything we thought we were and everything, trying to get through it to be who we're meant to be or on the right path. And we got to drop a bunch of this stuff. And it was literally like painful. I would literally feel at times my whole body, my whole brain would feel like it was spinning so fast. And it was like just so much white noise. I literally would feel like I like would light on fucking fire. You know, I mean, I was like, not be able, not even a chance of grabbing onto one thought at once or whatever. And I mean, I could probably talk normal, semi-normal to, you know, people this thought I seemed a little, maybe a little eccentric or a little high energy, but I literally felt like my brain was like, it was going to explode. I literally felt like I would burn. Honestly, yeah. I had a lot of experiences of feeling like I was burning. Was like, it was painful, extremely difficult, but it wasn't like I was being burned at the stake. But I mean, just the energy was going so fast inside of me that I literally felt like, you know, I was burning. And then all of a sudden it would go completely calm. And I felt like I shed like a whole layer of buzz that was just spinning and creating friction. And then all of a sudden I would be like a new person. Yeah. You know, I was like, oh, this is so nice. I like it here, you know?
Yeah. No, totally. Same here. And I feel the temperature too. Like, I'll just be like burning up, or I'll be like, you know, when I'm cold, I know there's something like I'm disconnected. But the heat seems to come on when like it's like something is, you know, evolving, moving forward.
Totally. It's friction. It's like pressure. Like there's something is going to happen. And I still experience things like that. When I first was awake, I mean, my family like trusts me and knows me and love me. So I would explain some of this stuff and they were like, but you're good, right? You're not going to run out into traffic. You're not going to cut your own head off. Like, everything's cool. And I'm like, it's incredible, but I literally feel like I'm going to explode.
Yeah. Yeah, we say, you know? We say that, but then we're like, we don't know what the fuck's going on. We see it. But it's great. It's great, guys.
Yeah, right? It's gorgeous, actually. Like, wow, euphoria, big time. And then I'm going to explode. Get me?
And I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing here.
Right? Yeah. And I wonder, like, how am I going to fall asleep today? I mean, and this went on and on and on, and I would just knock out. And it was like, I have been literally climbing the walls, burning, shedding skins like a snake, and then I knock out, like sleep better than I've ever slept in my life. And I'm like, and I'd wake up. Waking up was so weird. Cause it's like, yep, I'm still here.
Yeah. No kidding. I know. And you just kind of like check your surroundings. You're like, what? Was I just born?
Yeah, man. That first day, literally, I was like, all I could relate it to, all I kept thinking about was in the movie, two movies, Interview with a Vampire and Twilight, both vampire movies, go figure. When the person, the human, turns into a vampire and everything is like sparkly and beautiful and brand new, like looking through the, like in the movie with Brad Pitt, he describes it as looking through his, like, you know, vampire, his newborn vampire eyes. That is exactly what I experienced. I was looking through new eyes and everything. I mean, like, when I looked at a tree with a bunch of leaves in the wind, I didn't just see a tree. I saw every single leaf on that tree.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was reborn, and thank God, because I was just existing in a life that I wanted to die in.
I know. And you didn't even know it. I didn't.
No, I thought that this was it. This like survival of this beige, sad life was it. And I was just like, I'm just putting one foot in front of the other. And I remember right before it happened, a thought right before I met my person, we'll call him. I had a thought and I said, my like purpose in life is just to be a good best version of me, you know, ethically, as possible. I just want to be a good mom. I just want to be a good friend. And I just want to be a good daughter. All of this other stuff, I can't win for losing. I'm constantly at a loss.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm suffering those losses daily, every second of every day. I am in a place of suffering. And
yeah, it's so intense now too. It's like you just can't ignore it. But it's like, what the fuck? How else am I supposed to think? And you get pushed down to just focusing on like being a good family, like what you just said. Or for me, it was just focusing on I just want to be happy, and just be happy.
Yeah.
Like I want to project happiness and be happiness inside. Yeah. And,
right.
You know, there's no black and white. There's no different. It's whatever it takes, I'm going to do it, you know? And it's really let things fall like that used to be chained to me and just fall by the wayside. And you know, happiness is the goal. And so I was talking to this homeless guy, Joe, last night down in Encinitas. I spent hours talking to this guy because I was just like, I saw him and I pulled over and gave him some French fries. And then I ended up getting out of the car like 20 minutes later, and there he's sitting on the bench that I was like walking towards. Like, oh, perfect, like chop it up with this guy. And he's already talking to this kid who just got back from Pittsburgh, who just did a full ride scholarship for soccer. It was really you could tell he's a really you know, not privileged, but he's, you know, he has a good life, you know. And so me and this kid who just got back from 4 years of college in Pittsburgh with a full ride scholarship for as an athlete, and then Joe, who kind of walks with his head low and has his backpack slumped over his shoulder like he's carrying bricks, but I don't think his head is low. I think he's just watching his steps, you know. He's not down and out, but he's just kind of navigating his way through. But anyway, so we like we're all sitting there talking, and I just like couldn't believe it, because I had this moment. I realized that the kid from Pittsburgh, he had never really spoken to somebody like Joe and just had a real conversation with him. I could tell it was like sparking him. He's like, oh man, this is like nice, you know. I'm just talking to this guy, even though he's homeless and, you know, looks way different than me and his life is way different than mine, like I'm having a good conversation out of nowhere. And you know, and I think if you can see through the you know, what a lot, like what I used to see is, you know, you see somebody talking to themselves, you see somebody homeless, you think something's wrong with them. You think their thinking is wrong, that they've chosen a path that is just not one that you're supposed to be on, you know? And so when you like let go of those judgments and just allow them to be a human and look them in the eyes and have a conversation with them, which I'm not saying no one is doing, but when I was able to do that finally, it's like, when you look into their eyes, it changes how you look at them. Because I was like talking to Joe last night, and he looks very rugged and very beat up and unhealthy. And then when you
when you attach those judgments to him, but in turn, you not only attach the judgments to him, you also attach the judgments to yourself. Like he is bad. I am good. He is dirty. I am clean. And you miss all the other, yeah, you know, relevant information.
Yeah.
And that's the story of people's lives right now, as we attach all this judgment, you know, like it's basically good and bad, you know, that you attach it and then you relate it back to yourself.
Yeah.
You relate it back to yourself and you're like, it's basically all these chains weighted down, weighting you down as far as like liberating your, you know, perspective and viewpoints and your personal truth that is meant for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, as I was talking to Joe, this other guy, he ended up leaving. So it was just me and Joe. And I just look at him right in the eyes and he was making eye contact. At first, it seemed like he wasn't. But as soon as I was like locked in talking to this one on one, it's like he became, I just saw him as like, he was like glowing. He was healthy. He is healthy.
Yeah.
His mind is there, you know, and he stuttered and he didn't make sense when I was like trying to, you know, find my way in the conversation and understand what the Pittsburgh guy was saying and understand what I'm going to say to that and how this is such a big moment for all of us. And, you know, like when I let all that go and just look Joe in the eyes, I'm like, he has valuable perspective, experience, and insights. And when I locked into his eyes, man, it was just unloaded. It was just like, he is saying stuff that makes sense. I just have to hear it. And,
you know, I bet you if both of your little cells were in petri dishes, you know, 10,000 miles away, I bet both of your little cells would have been jumping all over the place.
Yeah, no, totally. Because he was like, he couldn't get enough of it because he's probably been told he's crazy his whole life. But I understood everything he was saying. I was like, and I'm not, you know, I kind of like, he kept saying that. He's like, you're so prim and proper. Yet you get this. You get the life. This yeah. life. And I was like, I don't get shit, man. Like, that's one thing. I don't understand anything, but I am accepting of everything that you're telling me. And I actually can relate to a lot of it, even though my life has been completely different. But here we sit on this bench. And that I can relate to you is that, you know, this inner workings of life and your perspective and how that's the most important thing, despite your circumstances. Yeah, I understand that. And I came from a great family provided for. I had everything, you know, I could want, and I had access to it. And I still, you know, had to go down to the depths and, you know, hit a black wall and turn back around and come back up, you know. And I don't even think Joe's doing that. I think Joe is just focused on being happy and talking to people, and that's his life. And yeah, he doesn't look like he showers too much, but he's just a good person. He's a good human being,
right,
that doesn't have a home, that is just, you know.
Well, he doesn't have the luxury to attach all these judgments. He's literally trying to survive.
Yeah.
And if he is not able to, you know, survive from a more primitive state, then he will perish.
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, this is who you're dealing with. And that's just it, is you with your spiritual awakening. You can get down into that place of understanding and connection, luxuries aside, and you can literally, you know, on your frequency, being open as you are and everything, the compassion that comes with this, once you do surrender to yourself and to source and all creator, whatever people want to call it, your gifts start to open up. And me and you have talked about you specifically, in my perception of you, is that you are so compassionate, and you are that person that wants to do this, and that wants to anybody, you know, you can tell Jimmy anything, and Jimmy really cares. So, I mean, you're doing it. So I applaud you. You're my friend, and you and I are just getting to know each other, but under the oddest of circumstances,
yeah.
and in the strangest way. You know, you are finding your purpose. You are opening up and, you know, following what is strong in you. And I am doing things.
You're doing things. Hello? Can you hear me? Meredith.
So cool. So you're going to be, I'm driving. I'm have to stop here shortly. I don't want to be interrupted by my GPS telling me to turn here and turn there. We clearly flow with this, huh?
Yeah. And, I want to hear about the ceremony and like ayahuasca and like what your experiences are with that.
Yeah, I'm very excited to share about ayahuasca ceremonies, my experiences, you know, a little bit more. We can touch on our awakenings. You know, they were very different from each other, but I think the general idea was very much the same. We can just continue this. Ayahuasca is something in my belief, that could heal the world. So, you know, and people are, experimenting with, you know, major psychedelics. They call themselves psychonauts. That is not me. I do not do drugs and I do not drink, with no judgment, just saying that my vessel, you know, responds a certain way to stuff, and I need to seek specific plant medicine and do it completely in a sacred ceremonial space.
Totally.
And I'm all about sharing that because I know with all of my heart and soul that it will help my fellow man stop surviving and actually start being able to live.
Totally. Are you saying you have to get off the phone?
I'm excited.
Okay.
are you saying you have to get off the phone, but you keep talking? Okay, cool,
no,
Meredith,
I mean,
cool.
I want to go into it, but if you have to get off the phone.
I'm going to need to get off here. I can resume this with you if you'd like, you know, in an hour or so. I have a meeting, and then we can resume this.
Just
no problem.
Me a text when you're done. I'm going to walk around this park for a while. All
right, cool. Later. Sounds good.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I talked to Anne as a, is it so fucking balanced? Like, I think all it is like me being able to just receive, like, clearly, you know,
uh-huh.
It's crazy. Cause it's like, her voice is different. Like, it's like back to how it was. I was like, oh my God, I knew she was there behind it all. I just didn't know I was the one blocking it all too. With my own.
So who is this person?
The Anne from Minnesota, the twin flame. The whole experience.
Oh, okay, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about that? Talk about that experience. How did you meet this person? And then what happened?
Met on Tinder, which is like, uh-huh. Like I said before, like it's just the only people I've met like is in the most obscure places that ever like turned out to be meaningful, and it's behind like this idea and belief when I attach it to something that's like you that won't be meaningful, you won't find it there. It's like it's always yeah. that's where it is. Look around.
Yeah.
But, she just came in to my life like when I had stopped talking about it to everybody. Okay, this is looking like insanity, and I wouldn't believe if anybody was telling me, so there's really no sense in talking about it. And so I just kind of like was like, it's just me and the universe, you know, that's it.
Yeah.
And I met her, and I was like, I don't even know why I'm like on Tinder. Like, I just swipe and then I go to bed, and then swipe in the day, and then I don't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm leaving tomorrow. I was in Minnesota. I was like, hey, I'm leaving tomorrow. If you want dinner before I head out of town tomorrow night, I can. Let's do it. And she said she just picked the spot, and then
yeah.
We got there the next day. And it was just like effortless and no like build up. No need to know what's going on in their
yeah.
life. Just be there. Boom, done. And when she walked in and I saw her, it was like, I don't know. I was just like, it was like definite like soulmate. Like, okay, this is I like this energy and like seeing her, and
mm-hmm.
just, you know, like feeling like you know somebody when you haven't talked to him. And that night, yeah, we just talked, and I was able to be honest and open, and you know, be authentic with like, hey, you know, like yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I believe this, and I think it's all positive, and you know, and it's about how your perspective.
Is she an awakened soul, or is she still
yeah.
in the 3D world, but you know, very aware, or what?
No, she's very aware. I mean,
uh-huh.
So then she flew out to my house like a month later in California, mind you.
Yeah.
We've only met once. We've only hung out once, but we talked like a lot. And she came out here, and it was like on the way to the airport to pick her up, I just started picturing like my heart. Like I wanted to connect it to her
yeah.
heart, like, you know, intentionally. And I didn't really
yeah.
know what it meant. I just knew that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have sex. I didn't want to make out. I didn't want to do nothing except for connect to that girl's heart. And, you know, so we got back to my house, and I was like, hey, I don't know what I mean by this, but can I,
yeah.
can we meditate and I connect to your heart? And she's like, yeah. And, you know, long story short, we did. And
right.
it was like the first time I felt oneness with another human. And it was like
right.
this intense, intense
Aww.
Love. And, yeah, comparable. Yeah. And it's like, and then I was just like, dude, to me, it was like, oh, I have this partner in fucking life now. She's gorgeous. I
yeah.
love her. She's like all into the same things I am. She's sweet. She listens. She talks. Like it's like, I was like, dude, all that fucking month of pain and being alone.
I have heard
and,
people have spiritual awakenings, person. And I don't know if it's because like the chart hawk or their shirt. Yeah, but the heart chakras, or you know, the chakras get you know blown open or whatever, or open up so much, you know, they call in the twin flame or whatever, or you know, I've done quite a bit of research, and there's like you know soul families, which are like soulmates, and those and you can have like a mate throughout life being your soulmate, but there's only one twin flame, and that is literally like. Was it Socrates or Plato talks about it in his symposium about, you know, the gods were jealous of humans because they were completely happy with four legs, four arms. And so they damned them to earth, split them apart and damned them to earth, searching for one another. And so we only, and it's basically, it's from this, you know, a twin flame is like, you know, the same energy split into two. For me, like, cause I pay attention to people pretty good. I'm pretty like very, I've always been very analytical with people's behaviors. And, it's very interesting to me. People spend their lives, you know, wandering the earth searching for something. And, I mean, it's kind of a thought of mine of they're searching for their other half, but they fill that void with all sorts of addiction behavior, you know, drugs, alcohol, food, gambling, all these things are trying to fill that missing part. And it's a thought of mine that it is actually, they're trying to find their other half, you know?
I think it's find the one, like we're all trying to find our oneness, because that's what the twin flame did for me. It's like it brought me, you know, yeah, it's being reflected through me, this one-on-one interaction with this human, but it's like it's ultimately the oneness that there is no male, there is no female, there right. is no black, white, there is no human, there is no chipmunk. It's just all from one conscious mm-hmm. stream of existence or creation, you know. And I don't think we can grasp it in our bodies, but it's like that, that's what, you know, we come from, and we know it, and we know something's wrong. Yeah. Something's wrong on the news. Something's going on. Like, that does not feel right. My life does not feel right. I have everything I thought I wanted, and I'm still kind of like, what is the missing puzzle piece here?
Yeah.
And I think that's common in everybody. No matter how wealthy or successful you get, you'll still get to the top of that accolade, and then you'll just look down and be like, what's next? Like, what is next?
Yeah.
What is the next piece? You know, it's like, there is not a next piece. It's actually, you know, it is the whole. It's like literally just the fact that we are one, and that like unlocks everything. But it's so difficult after however many years you've been on this planet, taking in this reality of separation, you know, and it's like, it's fun. It's fun to me now because I look at it and I'm like, dude, that's so crazy. Like that, like 5 months ago, I was like, wow, that is, you know, black and white, that's a, you know, wrong way of living or whatever, wrong, that's not mine, but it's like, it all comes from the same damn thing, and it's all, the collective is working together to experience every damn possible viewpoint of this freaking duality thing, and, you know, I think, obviously, we're coming to the time where it's like, we're hitting dead ends, so obviously, we're
going
to understand and kind of bounce back, you know, I don't know how,
but
we're all doing it.
We all have our own individual paths. So you wanted to talk about my experience with ayahuasca ceremonies. Talking about. So I had a spiritual awakening January 25th, 2018. And 2 weeks after that, I ended up meeting somebody who offered me, she randomly met her, walked into a chiropractor's office and met her. I mean, kind of freaking some, there was an energy worker there that I thought was a massage therapist. And then she freaked out on, you know, my energy was too much for her. So she asked this other girl to come in, this Colombian woman. And, she came in and she's like, oh no, you're going to be fine. You know, she said, your energy is very big and very old. And it can scare people who are not familiar with this type of thing, or literally familiar with spiritual awakenings, but not familiar with someone like you. So, kind of like you're too much for them to, handle, and you freak them out. So I decided I felt comfortable. She made me feel, I wanted to meet Colombian me, So massage with her, and then she asked me, Colombia.
Yeah, sorry. I should be in the clear with service. But anyway, continue.
I'm driving too.
Yeah.
All right. So she asked me if I'd like to do a spiritual retreat in Colombia, and I asked what did that mean exactly? Because I had no idea about anything. I knew nothing about chakras. I knew nothing about you know, I mean, I prayed to God. Me and God had a good relationship, and that was about it. But as far as all this other stuff, I had no clue. I knew nothing about DMT or ayahuasca or anything like that at all. So, but I had heard the name DMT. My son, 18-year-old son, you know, had mentioned it. So, and I said, well, what do you do? And she goes, well, you do the ayahuasca. And I was like, yeah, that, I don't know what that means. And she said, and then she whispered in my ear, DMT. And I was like, oh, I heard of that. So, I mean, I got my passport in a very short period of time, and I went down there and, you know, had my first, 4-day ayahuasca ceremony in the middle of the jungle. You got to walk in, with a backpack on your back, no electricity or nothing. And you do it with the tribe's people. And, it was an incredible experience. It was incredibly painful, incredibly, you know, especially in the beginning, incredibly hard. I didn't do any research on purpose because, I didn't want to have any preconceived ideas of what I should be experiencing versus what I actually was experiencing. And, you know, ayahuasca is, you know, they say it's a psychedelic. You're not hallucinating. You don't see dinosaurs running around with tennis shoes on. And, you know, you open up and your energy centers, and basically your spirit starts driving the car. And, you know, you get to meet yourself. And, you know, that is very painful. There's a lot of years, many lifetimes of experiences that you have to, that you've stored in trauma or, you know, just negative energy. And, you have to get rid of that. But they say that the mother ayahuasca doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I would have to say that is true. But you do get pushed to the point where you feel like, you know, Americans are very afraid. They've been kind of told like it's the most powerful psychedelic in the world. And I don't agree with that at all. It is a medicine, and it's a medicine that's very powerful. And you face the things that you face yourself, and you face the very, very difficult part of yourself. And it's, you know, you do a lot of crying, you do a lot of purging, and it's difficult. I've been 3 times now, so 3, 4, 5 day ceremonies. It's the most incredible experience I've ever had, and I recommend it for every single person in the whole world. Absolutely, hands down, everyone.
Yeah. So once you purge and like let that shit out from one ceremony, Do you feel that it's pretty much behind you then, or is it still you have to constantly?
Okay. So
still maintenance, you know, progress.
So no, I mean, you know, I will do ayahuasca, you know, God willing, for the rest of my life. But I also, you know, strongly suggest you do it in a very safe setting. I mean, the planet carries energies. Where I do it is in the Amazon, and it is on like thousands of year old sacred ground with the Incan tribal people. So I suggest you do this in a safe place. I don't just think people should just be going around and like dosing themselves, driving cars, and, you know, talking to their mother-in-law. You know, I don't think that's...
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
Well, no, I saw, I was on Facebook, and I saw these, like, soul drops. They look like, they're drops, like a little brown glass bottle that you would find at, like a health food store, and they are selling them.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
They're called soul drops. And I'm like, what in God's name is this? So, and it doesn't really say anything, but they're literally selling like drops of who knows what. But, and you know, eventually people are going to take this, are going to bring it, and are going to start abusing it. Abusing it in the sense that just not being respectful of the situation in which they use it, you know? I mean, it's not a drug. It is not a drug. It can't be like abuse like cocaine or anything like that. But humans tend to find a way to do to ruin things. So, you know.
I think if it's just not like met, if it, you know, the people like you who are like starting up these, bringing it more to the West, you know, up here to America, it's just like allowing the people who get called to it to come and not having to push it, and just allowing that to be like, well, that means it's fucking on divine time, because if they're just coming for it, that means, you know, they say Mother Ayahuasca, like call, she calls to you, and you just start, you know, you get that call and then it won't be satisfied till you do it. And, you know, I think, I think that awareness and somebody who's actually made the effort to call and seek it out is somebody who's willing and able to handle it.
Yeah, know? I definitely would hope so. I suggest, you know, I mean, it's a lot of people are going like a one-time experience. People want an experience. And I mean, it truly is medicine, and it's, I would, you know, I suggest that it's a commitment for your life, for your development. And it'll definitely change your life. My first experience was extremely emotional, extremely painful. But it's like, you gotta, like, those first layers of that onion are kind of difficult to kind of manipulate and get off and get away, especially if you don't really know what the process is, because it's definitely, definitely a process, and you have to trust in that. And if you don't know what process you're going through, because you don't have that familiarity with it, you don't know what to expect next. You don't know how to trust it. The purging is like vomiting and going to the bathroom, and that activates the pineal gland. So you can literally, you can literally take it and nothing happens unless you vomit. And then again, no vomiting, take it again, nothing happens. Very upset stomach, very, very upset stomach. Then you take it again, no vomiting. So I have a lot of physical issues. I've had them for many years. And so they say that the plant works. It's, you know, it's like working on you in a very physical state, because it's very, very painful. You want to vomit so bad and you cannot. And believe me, I've done the fingers down the throat. I've drank like 7 glasses of aloe water, and my stomach is like, no, we're not throwing up. So eventually, you know, I do throw up. And then, I mean, I just have like huge releases of like emotional. And I'm not a crier. I'm a pretty tough nut. So it was, and then, there's lots of music involved, and one of the musicians followed me in, and while I cried, like I've never cried in my life, for 2 hours, serenaded me with an acoustic guitar and just sang to me and sang to me and sang to me. And then the whole tribe came in and were like touching me and touching my hammock and asking questions like, you know, when was the last time she cried? You know, and it was like, who knows, 25 years ago, probably, really actually cried. So, I mean, it's incredible. The way that shamanic medicine works is that the tribe believes if there's one sick person, that the whole tribe is, you know, sick. So they treat people as a whole. And it was the most singular, incredible experience of my life. And I've been back twice since, and each time it has been extreme, and but extreme in different ways. You know, I would say this last time, because I have since started to bring Americans myself down there, once you become responsible for someone else in this type of situation, it becomes even more of a responsibility. It is my calling to do so. So I have to do this no matter what. You know, and then I just got offered, I brought my psychologist down there, my psychologist of 14 years. I brought her down there. She had a life-changing experience completely. And then when we got back, she offered me her home, in Northern California, one of her rentals on 40 acres, to offer the shamans to come up and do, ceremonies in Northern California for American people. So they don't have to travel all the way down, you know, 2 days into the Amazon, which I highly recommend. I mean, you can't, there's nothing that compares to that, of course, but, you know, we will be providing, the real deal, you know, in Northern California for Americans who help heal themselves. They have to be the ones to do it. You know, it's not, no one can hold their hand through the whole thing. They got to walk.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's so how are you going to like get people to come? Like, how are you going to set it up? Just friends first? Like, hey, we got a ceremony.
I believe, like we're talking, like, you know, divine, I guess what you said, divine time. People tend to like attract to me and want to know what's going on. You know, they're like, who are you? Why do you look like that? You know, like, I'm interested in you. What do you have going on with you that you can share with me? And people ask me questions. And, you know, I'm on Facebook and I'm kind of like interesting. I'm an interesting person. I do share, I'm kind of open about my experiences. People tend to listen to me as far as I'm not a bullshitter and I'm not trying to gain anything beyond my own healing and growth. And kind of, I'm trying to follow my purpose, you know, right now. So, and people dig that. People want healing. People want the real experience. And they want to, you know, of course they want to do this type of stuff with safe people. And I'm not, you know, you don't make money off of medicine. You know, that's like, it goes against the rule of the world, the universe. So, you know, the cost and everything takes care of people's food and people's, you know, shelter or, you know, whatever. It pays the workers and everybody's working there. But as far as paying for your medicine, you know, that's not how this works. This is about, you know, yeah, evolving in your consciousness. And so I have quite a few friends who knew me before my awakening. And and the same people have seen this growth. And I've been pretty open about it. And they dig it. So they want to do it. You know, friends, but there's also people who I don't really know who have kind of seen some of my posts. You know, there's a group, a private group page and stuff like that. And they're interested. And I am here to help.
I know. It's like really I only feel good when I'm like talking like authentically about it. And that's like the reprieve. Like, it's like, fuck, like, dude, I just wanted to talk openly because, like, I love my friends so much. And my experience, you know, has probably not helped any of their spiritual, you know, inclinations. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, just, you know, misunderstandings.
You know,
but, like, that's where our self-healing is, like, the thing that they will pick up on.
Yeah, no, the subconscious.
Like, actually, like, oh,
the subconscious,
shit.
You know, yeah. is a, you know, far beyond what the, you know, us just being like, oh, just aware of the here and now. Our subconsciouses are doing a lot more than we can, you know, grasp. And they may be, they're, you know, I call it like the front man or the doorman, kind of like the ego self. They're, you know, that person might be turned off or say no or ew or whatever, or like ew, freaky. But the subconscious, your subconscious, their subconscious, you know, the universe, Mother Earth, that's all doing work, you know. That is happening. So, you know, you plant the seed and, you know, and they do with it what they're meant to do with it.
Yeah. So with my parents, they're the only ones that I get like fucking dumped on with like energy and like all this need to just give them just to communicate and like, you know, not really be like, I need to change their way of thinking, but I just need to like let this flow. And it's always this experience where it's like, I'm just like unloading some heavy stuff that, you know, I feel like at first it was me wanting them to understand, you know, I really wanted them to like see from my perspective and believe and, you know, just understand, you know, which is empty hope to have, you know, it's not necessary, but, it's like, and then, like, this past time, I just got hit with so much energy after, like, really fucking feeling good about, like, where I was in the present moment. And I just got hit, and I was, like, I became overwhelmed. I was just thinking about my dad, and I was, like, you know, I just love him so much, and I love my grandfather. I love all the men in my family, you know, because it's been, like, this weird, like, don't show emotion, share emotion you know, masculine thing. And it's like, but I just am so, I'm so grateful that they went through the lives they did and experienced what they had too. So, you know, that's done. And now we can keep moving forward. And, you know, like with my dad, I was like, I just saw the sacrifice of time and work and everything he put into, you know, his life. And I was feeling bad because it was like I was doing the opposite. It seemed like I was throwing away my life because I wasn't doing it that way. And he, and I just realized, you know, he sacrificed because I'm putting my happiness first. That's kind of what it's come down to. And that's a freedom and a gift that I don't think a lot of the generations right before us were able to really fully feel, you know?
No, not at all.
Not that it was wrong, like that was the experience and that's what how it had to evolve, but it's like I was just so grateful for being where I'm at in this generation and like this mindset and awareness. And I called him and I just like I was unleashed emotions, like it was physical, like I felt like I was thrown up like you do when you take ayahuasca. I was like, oh, I just love you, thank you. And like, Dad, you've done so much for me, and your dad, you've done so, you know, like, and Grant, Papa, he's done so much for us, and, like, just down the line, you know, and I just was, like, letting it out, and I was, like, it occurred to me, like, this isn't just, like, there's more coming through me than just Jim, like, it's a whole thing that needs to be released, and I'm, like, then I was, like, put Mom on the phone and talk to Mom, and I was just aware of who was speaking through me, which was the first time that's ever happened. I was just, like, saying things to her that I was, like, this is awkward. Because this is no place for a son to be telling her mom. But then it was just like, I had my grandfather just stepped in and like, he just like comforted me. And I was like, oh, it's not even me. For me. It's not, this isn't me. It's like him speaking through me. And then like, it was other people that I didn't know. I don't know if my mom knew, but it's like my family, ancestors that just needed to get shit out and say from one generation to the next, thank you. Good job. You know, like, you did awesome. Yeah. Everything was perfect. There is no wrong, you know, like, and it's like, unfortunately, that energy is so intense that, you know, we would call it in the mental health field, manic and, you know, part of bipolar and just like way chaotic.
I know, it's so sad.
That's what it feels
like.
That's what it is. But it's not about us. It's not about that individual person just being way over energized. It's about the message. Listen to it. Listen to it and be open because it's real usually, you know. I don't know. It isn't my case for sure. You know, they don't have to understand it, but I know I did my part by communicating it, allowing for a bridge.
Absolutely. That's so cool. Yeah, I've dealt with a lot of blockages, emotional blockages. I had, actually you turned me on to, the channeler that we spoke about. I knew there was some extreme horror in my past lives and, you helped me with him. And so you've always been, from what I've gathered with our talkings, you've always been able to, like, you know, purge out these energies, like, naturally, as we're supposed to, as we're meant to do, as the human mechanism makes its revolution. Like, that's how energy is supposed to be purged out. But we, with our thinking mind, we stop it because we overthink it, and then we stuff it down into our bodies. And then we're now stuck with this horrendous negative energy. And, so, I have dealt with a lot of blockages myself. So you're dealing with on one end of the spectrum of all this purging of yourself. And I have to go to, and, you know, do ayahuasca and to activate some purging. But even all the people I've seen in the ceremonies and stuff, I still don't, I still do not, you know, so I'm still dealing with blockages. I don't know if it's adaptability, I can go through ceremonies where everybody else is drinking one cup ayahuasca and like having these extreme experiences, and I've drank four and I'm sober, you know, sober as can be.
Yeah, so, maybe that just means you have nothing else to do right there.
Well, what it is basically I have to watch over them. I'm watching over them, and I'm not able to deal with my own shit until the dawn breaks, until they have all purged it out and cried and all the stuff they gotta do. And then I get to go through my experience. So it's
powerful.
Incredible. I know. Like, I can sit there with four cups of this and, you know, and that's, people are like, Meredith, that's insane. And it's like, yeah, I don't feel nothing. You know, I got a real bad bellyache. That's about it.
Yeah. And I want to relate that to the exact story I just told about my dad and mom and the phone call I had with them, because all I needed was to communicate with them. And that was the block. I knew the block. I knew what the information was, the knowledge around it, and I knew, you know, I didn't know the answer was to just say it. So once I did that, it was like all the guilt, once I got rid of my guilt and shame, then I could communicate and see them who they, for who they are in my life, and the amazing teachers they've been, and, you know, like the human beings equals that have raised me, you know? And so like I work with seniors, and the kids, I'm saying kids, they're like 50s, you know, that bring their mom and dad in there.
Cause
you know, they're getting to that point where it's like not safe to be alone. So here's the next step. And they are so blocked and shrouded by guilt, I think, like, yeah. whether they put time into it or not, it doesn't feel right. You know, it feels wrong to be leaving your mom, who, you know, put her whole life on hold to raise you. And yeah. You're just like, oh, I'm too busy now. Peace. But I don't think it's anything to feel guilty about. I think it's something to communicate about. That's all that's missing. Right. Is to say to them, I feel shitty about doing this to you. What do you feel? You know, like, well, how do you feel about this? Like, how can we make this so we feel good? And usually, because the answers I get from these seniors is like, they are happy to have some independence and still be taken care of and not impose on the family. And like, they're all happy. They're happy, but the kids aren't able to see it because they're so like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. And it's just their own perspective. It's just they have to let go of that guilt and shame.
Exactly.
And just like, for you, it's like you wanting to help, just like they want to help their parents. And that blocks you because you're trying to like, you just can't do both things, I guess, you know?
Well, we're back to what your perception becomes your reality, therefore it becomes your truth. So their truth is their failing as children of, you know, elderly parents. So I'm failing because that's their, you know, that's the reality because of their perception. They have to change their perception. They change the reality. Their truth becomes different. I agree with you. Like, you know, communication is key. I mean, me and you are talking, you know, we got, you know, good communication going on here, but, you know, a lot of people have experienced, you know, what we've experienced. Maybe some are open. I know some people have, families have shunned them, which would be horrible. You know, I did not get that. I'm lucky. Well, I mean, I had one experience with my cousin and my uncle that was ridiculous. But just them and the rest of the family and friends and everything are like, okay, this is kind of crazy. This is also kind of awesome. So I was pretty fortunate, you know, with what I experienced. Thank God. I mean, you know, I know you were worried about what people thought of you. That was something for you to overcome.
Still.
Yeah, so something you're overcoming, should I say.
Yeah.
I didn't have to deal with too much of that. I was very lucky. I mean, I was a little afraid to tell my best friend. I turned to my cousin, who kind of like reads tarot cards and talks about some of this stuff, turned to her, and she's the one who acted like a complete wackadoodle about it. Everybody else on the, you know, in my reality, was pretty okay with it, except the one person who claimed to be, well, enlightened, or, well, actually she called herself a wizard, but that is the one person that, you know, her and her father are the one people who I did get some really ultra, ultra negative, judgment and feedback.
You know why? They were meant to be the teacher, because I wanted that so bad. I want a mentor, teacher, somebody to like be like, okay, yeah, you know, like every time somebody would be like, I see that too, or I hear that too, I'd be like, oh, thank God, you know, it's a good thing, and to have positive reinforcement. But it's like, if they're not meant to like be there and like be a teacher and like help you, mentor you, then like it's gonna seem like maybe a huge block, but it's probably just not meant to be at the time. I don't know from your that experience, but that's
they said
that
they said I was possessed.
They said you were possessed?
Yes. Yep.
Oh yeah.
That was I mean, they took it to the extreme. They said that I was possessed, and that whatever energy that, you know, found me, basically I was this weak little shallow person, and whatever energy found me
they found me to use me to get to her as this wizard goddess. And
oh, you go. They're powerful.
Yeah, it was pretty off the charts. And I'm like basically, you know, just having an awakening. I think I called her like as soon as it happened. So I didn't know which end was up, let me tell you. And I'm getting this from these two family members, a father and a daughter. And I was, let me tell you, I was like, holy crap balls.
Yeah, the wizards are enemies.
Yeah, I was like, I don't deserve this happening to me. I am a conduit of evil because you are a spirit wizard goddess of all light and love. And I'm just like, ah, you know, I'm really affected here, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah, no, that's hilarious. Yeah, who knows? Because I think that first psychic I walked into, she's like, I can't really help you with this. I was like, what? I was like, oh my God. I was like, that's the worst information I could get from somebody that I thought would help me. She goes, looks above my head and goes, I can't help you. I said, what the hell is above my head? And what do you mean? So obviously you know something, tell me what you know. And it's like, yeah, she's not meant to be my teacher, but you know, she can communicate with the dead, which is cool. Yeah, that's nice. But when it's above the past, like it's like you need somebody who's like completely submerged, you know. Like I think getting stuck on the fringes and like being like, okay, I can like tap into this energy, and like your uncle needs to speak to you, and that's important. That's really important information. Mm-hmm. But there's your uncle wants you to get to the next step in your conscious evolution and not be stuck, you know, just on the fringes of life and death.
I spoke to five psychics in like 10 days, and it was expensive. Thank God I had some money sitting there, you know. I mean, believe me, I wouldn't have rather. They were not ultra helpful, but, you know, in being not helpful, they were helpful.
Exactly.
One, I scared to death, and she was the most expensive one. And I actually would, at this point, would like to go visit her and say, can I get a refund? Because you didn't do much except get scared. I did speak to one who basically helped me with the grounding. She wasn't scared. She was cool as hell. She teaches have you seen the book, A Course in Miracles? It's basically a Bible. I think it probably was written during, or started being written during, the New Age movement. And it's pretty good. I mean, if someone wants to you know, learn, she was great. She was really nice, grounded me. She helped me with grounding and not being afraid. She basically told me, your cousin, your uncle are out of their minds. Don't worry about this person that you met, that you don't know how this happened. Just don't worry and like go within yourself. You're good, you know? And I talked to another person, tried to scam me like financially. And I was like, you know what? I might be off my rocker a tad here, but you ain't getting that much money from me, girl. And she was like completely silent, you know? Hey, let's see, who else did I talk to? Oh, I talked to another one about the soul flame experience. And again, it was almost like I was beyond where they could reach, you know, like the energy I was generating was just unfamiliar to them. And they're like, oh, I know, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but girl, you are a unicorn with 10,000 horns sticking out of you right now. I really, you know, it would be best for them to say, you know what? I'm not going to take your money, because you are beyond my expertise or beyond my familiarity with this. You are not a creature I have yet met. But they didn't. Of course, you know, they take your money and kind of like, you know, talk about bunny rabbits and, you know.
So you told them you were a wizard and said you can't handle this.
No, my cousin is the one that said she was a wizard. She was a wizard and she was a goddess, and basically she was a wizard.
I think a good psychic, like obviously it's your energy they're reading, so they're just they're able to be the mirror for you and be it like you know, filtered. And I think it's difficult because we're always impacting that. So if we're like not meant to like hear the true reflection or like see the message, then it's just like it's gonna be like it's not gonna make sense, you know.
And a lot of them seem to filter the information
or because of their ego. I've noticed a lot of psychics deal with pretty big egos, and they filter the information as it serves them, you know? They're not...
It's hard not to.
Of course, because they're a human being, right? So, you know, but I was out of their league for sure. And not the one who did the Course in Miracles. She was all good. Super professional. She was basically like, girl, I got you. I met like about 5 people in 2-week period that, well, I saw some in person and some over the phone, but either I saw their eyes were as big as the moon, or I could feel them over the phone, and they were like, take a deep breath, you know? So, I've had good experiences with that channeler. I like him a lot better.
Jim Charles. Jim Charles. Can you hear me? Meredith. 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 As I'm driving on my journey from California to Minnesota, you know, I've been spending a lot of time in New Mexico, which I absolutely love this state. And I just went to Chaco Canyon the other day, which is beyond amazing. I highly suggest it. A lot of good energy on that land, a lot of rich history. And I stopped in Farmington, New Mexico, which is right before the border. It's like the one city to really stop in. And one of the only Airbnbs that was open for a reasonable price was called the Eclectic Castle, which I'll include a link for their Airbnb, because if you're ever out this way, I highly recommend A, staying in Chaco Canyon, and B, staying in Farmington, New Mexico at the Eclectic Castle, because it's a renovated church that this family lives in, and downstairs is where you stay, and it's got everything you need, obviously, and then upstairs they have the renovated church with the pews, the benches still in it, and then a stage, which they have every instrument, every record. You can record music up there. You can just jam out. They have all these guitars, pianos, keyboards, microphones, trumpets, everything. And you can just hang out and jam with them. You can jam by yourself. You can do whatever you want. And so, you know, I didn't meet them the night I got in. And the next day I met them as I was packing and filling my car up. And then we started talking and just hit it off. And I was like, dude, I didn't go upstairs. And they showed me the upstairs. And I was like, I have to stay another night, you know, like, and, these people were just so, it was so amazing. And their niece happens to just be on the same similar journey as myself, where she donated everything and is embarking upon her service to humanity and others, and try to help other people be their authentic self or find happiness or get through any hard times, and, you know, use her life experience to help others get through life experiences. So we recorded this conversation, which is so genuine and so vulnerable and raw. Like, her story is amazing. She just opened up, I know you'll enjoy it, because it's a story of coming from a, you know, a childhood, a family life where, you know, she ran away at the age of 16 and had to fend for herself and become herself. And it's fascinating, and it's an amazing story, and she's truly a beautiful person. And here it is. Her name's Kiara Renee, and I'll include a link for her Instagram and whatever else she wants to put on there. And I hope you enjoy.